Hello and welcome to the Boys in Maroon podcast. Our guest today is Billy Brown. Billy, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm bailing up anyway.
Good stuff. Oh, well, I was going to ask you how you're coping. This morning when we spoke, you were taking the dog for a walk. So how are you coping with lockdown?
Well, you know, I've adhered to all the rules, Scott, because if we don't, you know, and everybody abides by the rules, we'll get out of this sometime. If we don't, it could kill us all. But I mean, I take the dog out. I've got my three grandsons with me at the moment. Living in the house, so they keep us busy. And just go on with life, that's all. And we'll come through it in the end.
That's a good attitude to have. Yeah, I think you're right. We have to stay in now so that we can get out later. I think that's a ruling on it. Do you mind if we get straight into the football questions? Because I think everyone's telling me that you tell a good story on football.
So okay, on you go.
Everyone's saying it. So I'm going to get straight into it. So I want to talk about the 98 Scottish Cup final. So in a recent interview, Paul Ritchie was speaking about it, and he was saying how important it was to get an early goal. He was basically saying it was a very strong Rangers side. So to get that early goal was essential. How did you plan for that game? How did you set them up? What was going through your mind?
Well, do you know, Scott, that season, we were a better team than Rangers that season, but we couldn't beat them. Every league game we played against them, they beat us. So after the last game of the season, Jim and I took the players down to England, to Stratford, to prepare for it. And Jim and I sat on the Sunday night and thought, the way we are playing is the way we've always played, and it's been successful for us, but not against Rangers. Every time we set the team up, we set it up to win, just not to lose. And for the first time in our career, we set the team up not to lose. All we did all week was concentrate on the keep it tight, you know, don't let them into the game, and we'll have a good go in the last 15 minutes. So that was our game plan. It fell to bits because we scored after a minute and a half. You know, we scuppered the plans, really. But, you know, we did really well to keep it like that. It was a poor game that day, actually. We had played a lot better against Rangers. We're in at half-time and we're saying to them, just keep it the same. We don't need to score again. All we need to do is keep to the game plan, keep it tight. And we went and scored 5 minutes into the second half. You know, so we're 2-0 up. We thought, well, what do we do now? And obviously, Rangers came into the game, Scott, and they got a goal back, and we were hanging on at the end. And I think the referee played 8 minutes injury time. Willie Young played 8 minutes injury time that day, and it's the longest 8 minutes of my life. But we got through it, and we deserved it. We were a better team than Rangers, although they had players like Richard Gough, Brian Loudrop, Stuart McCall, Alan McCoist, Andy Gorham. But we should have won the league that year. We had the best team. We had the best team, and we had the best team spirit, which is a big, big thing, and we had it.
Definitely. I mean, it's something that I've said in the past. It was on recently on YouTube. Paul said he hadn't seen it since. So I asked Paul, what do you remember about it? And he said, I was that drunk on the coach going through Edinburgh, so I couldn't really remember a lot about it, but we've watched it recently. And basically, teamwork, you had a group of players that respected each other and worked hard for each other.
Yeah, we did. And apart from that, you know, which Jim and I built upon all the time, we were great for team spirit, great for the dressing room being together. But if you looked at that team, I think everybody in that team, apart from Stevie Fulton, become a full international football player. Rosé played for France. McPherson played for Scotland. Weir played for Scotland. Ritchie played for Scotland. Naismith played for Scotland. Salvatore didn't play for Italy. Cameron played for Scotland. Flogo played for Austria. Adam, I don't know if he got a cap or no. And McCann played for Scotland. So we had top players. We had top players. We had taken 3 years to amass that group of players, and they were all top players, really good players, Scott. You know, people like David Weir was an outstanding football player all round. Naismith's the best young boy we've ever had. Funny enough, the next young boy was called Naismith as well, that we had at Kilmallock, Stephen. But these were really, really good players. We had Colin Cameron in the middle of the park, and Stevie Fulton, who, to put it mildly, was an outstanding football player. Adam up front's the best in-behind runner I've seen. McCann was a flying machine. So we had a team that was really, really good. And we got our just desserts that day.
Yeah, I mean, you probably answered my next question because, like I said, Paul was saying how good the Rangers team was, but you were saying Hearts were better. So in terms of approaching the game, did you have sort of the same feelings as Paul where he said, I think there was a moment in it where he said, Loudrup missed a toe poke. So he chested the ball and basically put the side under pressure, and Loudrup should have scored and toe poked it by. And he said, I just knew at that moment that was it, that we were going to win. They were never going to score another goal.
Yeah, I remember that. He should have scored. But my thoughts on that one were that every away game, you know, Jim and I sat at the front of the bus, and I was always out the bus first. I was always up and out before the players. That day, I got up to get out my seat, and every player passed me in the passageway of the bus. They were all out before me, and I thought, this is different here today. This is different. And it was our turn, Scott. We had been beaten two previous cup finals, the 1996 cup final, Scottish cup final, and 1997 league cup final. We were beaten by Rangers. So we deserved this one, and we were due it. But yeah, I got the feeling that day in the bus and in the dressing room and in the preparation that week that this was our turn. And it was.
Yep. I'm going to have to ask you about the Ali McCoy's. Was it a penalty? Should it have been a penalty? What do you think?
Well, I remember that, you know, on the bench that day, Walter Smith and Archie Knox turned round and jumped up with their hands punching the air when I think it was David Weir that brought McCoy's down, and they thought it was a penalty. I thought at the time it was a penalty as well. But it was a ref, it was a linesman that chalked it, that didn't give it. Mm-hmm. And Wally Young says to me, if the linesman had given it or said it was in the box, I would have given a penalty. But it was on, he said it was on the edge of the box, so he didn't give it. Now, how lucky can you be to get a decision against an Old Firm team in Glasgow in a cup final, Scott? What? It just shows you it was our day when we had that bit of luck. It really was. And the other thing about that, Rangers, on the Monday when we were at Stratford, the news came through that George Alberts had been suspended. You know, went to see, and now George Alberts at the time was a big gun for Rangers with free kicks. And in that game, Rangers got about three or four, including that one on the 18-yards box, that were within Alberts' distance. And every one, I think Amoruso took a couple and blasted them into the crowd. So if Alberts had been playing that day, it might have been different, that one. But I think it was our day. But that decision, if we had lost a goal there, lost a penalty and lost a goal, we were on our knees a wee bit near the end of that game, you know. So it was a big, big decision that for us, and it went our way.
It was, like I said, it was like watching one of the Rocky movies the last 10 minutes. You were out, we were out on our feet. Rangers just kept coming and coming and coming. But like you said, the spirit of players, like, I'm going to quote Paul again. Paul was saying he wasn't the best, but he gave his best. And I think there's a lot of players like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something about Paul Ritchie. Paul Ritchie was the best defender I've seen with the ball played in the left-hand channel. It was lightning quick. He was really, really aggressive and positive, and he was as good in the air as any defender I've seen. When we played Celtic, we used to put Paul Ritchie on Van Hooydonk, Celtic. Now, Van Hooydonk was about 5 inches bigger than Paul Ritchie, at least, and Paul Ritchie used to beat him all the time. He was really, really aggressive, and, you know, Paul Ritchie went on and had some career here. I mean, he played against England and the playoffs, and yeah, you know, the last time we were there, and he did exceptionally well. He was a winner. He was quick. He was aggressive. He had a streak in him that you need for a professional football player. But I think his biggest asset was he had David Weir beside him, who was a really, really top player. And every player that ever played with David Weir prospered.
You had a lot of players in the side like that, though, that were gentlemen. That when you spoke to them off the field, were gentlemen. But as soon as they crossed that line to go on the pitch, it switched. And I like that. One of the things I'm you probably disagreeing with me, Billy, but one thing I dislike now, I watch Match of the Day and I see players joking and smiling and shaking hands and doing all that as before they go out. And I just want them just to concentrate on the game. They can have a drink with each other and shake hands afterwards. And Paul was talking about that some gentlemen off the field, but business is business when you get on the field.
Yeah, it certainly was. And it was to that group of players. And Paul's a good example of that. I mean, Paul was a nice lad, but he was a pretty ruthless player on the park. He was a determined, very aggressive lad on the park. Off the park, he was a changed person. But they were all like that. They all had a desire to win. And my biggest regret about that all, we should have won the league. We should have won the league with that group of players.
Paul
but we didn't.
No, it is what it is. Let us, we'll leave that to one side for a moment. Tell us about, if you can, about the times of administration where you were, again were at Hearts. You were under Gary Locke at the time.
Yeah, that was my third spell as a Hearts assistant manager. You know, Gary was struggling. They didn't have any money, and I went there. I went there with no wages. I didn't take any wages when I went there. And we had to field a team of young boys because there was nobody else. Young boys plus people like Danny Wilson, who's a good player, and Ryan Stevenson was still there. You know, so we went with them, and we did really well, to be honest. We were very, very unfortunate not to get out of that. We took a wee while to get acclimatised. You know, the young boys did adapt, and we did really well. I mean, it was a hardship, to be honest with you, for Hearts to be in that position, but you know, that was the way the club was left with Romanov. And it was a difficult period for the club. But they did come out of it. The supporters got us out of it, and like they always do. The Hearts supporters are magnificent. And it was difficult to be there. But the young boys rose to the occasion and did exceptionally well, to be honest with you. And as I say, we just about did it.
I'm probably going to put you on the spot now. So if I am, you just let me know. Romanov, you hear so many stories. Have you got any to add to that?
Well, I didn't have much to do with Romanov. I mean, Jim had more to do with Romanov than me. You know, I was with him three or four times. And I mean, quite frankly, I've got to say that I don't think it was a good period in Hearts' history to have somebody like that there that was bringing loads of players and forcing managers to do things. When I met him, he was pleasant enough. He loved his cell. Everybody was scared of him. Mm-hmm. And he's now on the run in Russia, isn't he? But I didn't think it was a good period. I mean, when Jim and I left Kilmarnock, you know, Hearts got in touch with us three or four days later, and you know, we thought, well, one thing we do if we take the job, we'll get sacked very shortly because everybody does. But we thought we'd have a go at it, and it was interesting. And you know, we got he sacked us when. Two games into the season, we drew with Rangers at Ibrox and won in drew in Europe, and he sacked us and we'd finished third in the league. To me, it wasn't a good time, and I didn't like him, and I didn't like his way and his methods and that. And I know Hearts won two cups under him, but I don't think it's anything to be proud of.
No, it's a difficult one for managers when chairmen are picking sides, isn't it? That's got to be disheartening.
Yeah, he never picked a team when we were there, but he did put his spoke in the works a few times, you know, wanting his own way about a certain player not being selected and that. He did that a couple of times, and it made it very awkward for us that. But I think Jim and I were lucky in as much as we were there when he was coming to the end of his reign. I think earlier in his reign, when he went through all these managers and sacked people like George Burley, who was top of the league at the time and that, and they had people run, they had about 70-odd players there. You know, so I think it was a lot more difficult than it was when Jim and I was there. I think he was coming to the end of his time when we were there, you know.
Mm-hmm. You get along to the games now, so I know that you attend the games. What's your thinking on the team at the moment?
Well, they're no good at kidding themselves on. There's no doubt about it. Hearts are the worst team in the league. They haven't got the worst players, but they're the worst team. You know, from the first day, the first home game of the season against Ross County. You know, Ross County should have beat Hearts 5-0 that day. They missed a penalty, Ross County, but they hammered Hearts. And every game, has been just about the same. They haven't done well. The only team that played well against at Tynecastle has been Rangers. You know, they were better than Rangers. And I seen the last one at Easter Road where they beat Hibs, and they played well that night. But then they go and draw with Motherwell and get beat at St Mirren. No consistency. You turn up there. I sometimes took about 20 minutes to work out how the team was playing and who was playing where. It was just poor all round. There wasn't any real desire showed. And it's just been really, really poor, Scott. And I'm afraid to say, and no proud of it, but they definitely were the worst team in the league.
No, I could only agree with you. I mean, some of the games that I've seen, it's been hard watching. But one of the things that I've been asking people is my glass is always half full, Billy, so I always try and look on a positive. So
you've got to.
Yeah. So looking at what we've got, I mean, we got into this position where players weren't working out, and then we go and try and buy or bring players in, and before you realise, you've got a massive squad, and they're all not really performing how we want them to. But you mentioned before that giving players, young players, a chance, and I'm all for that. So, and I know I keep bringing him up, it's your interview, but Paul was talking about the chances that he got as a youngster and how other people got chances to be able to not just play 10 minutes here or a half here, but to establish themselves. If they were playing well, to establish themselves and to learn the trade, and that's something that Paul said he did under you.
Yeah, that's really important, you know, as I was saying before. When you bring a young lad into the team, make sure you're of the opinion he's good enough to be given enough time to justify being a first-team player. Now, if you look what's happened this season, I mean, there's that many players being brought in there. There are far too many players at Hearts. I can't understand why a manager should get... I mean, Craig signing all these players, it gives you... You get a headache with the number of players you've got there. You know, so I can't understand why you brought them in. But, you know, he brings in Glenn Whelan and then Leclerc for Cardiff. Demure for Cardiff, sorry. You know, when he's got Irvine there, and Irvine comes in and gets a game and goes out, and, you know, the young boys never get a chance to bed their cell in. But I mean, I don't think I've seen the same team play two consecutive weeks with Hearts. They keep chopping and changing it. They're never going to get a team that way. You know, Daniel Stendels came in, a very difficult position for the man. I wouldn't have went for an outsider like that myself. I would have put somebody in there that knew what was required. But it's very difficult to judge Daniel. He's not had much of a chance, and he's been given a hand that he's just got to play. There are some good young boys there, but they need time. And whether they're going to get time, you know, in the position Hearts are in at the moment, I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's a difficult one. I don't know if you... I'll send you the links, but we spoke with Anthony McDonald, who's biting at the bit. So you had them players that played well and then got loaned out. And I just sort of think about myself and I think, OK, I've had some good games. And you think about Cochrane playing against Celtic, who just basically bossed the midfield. And then you're out on loan. And you must think, what have I got to do to be given a chance? That's got to be difficult for the player, but also you being a manager as well. How do you manage people like that?
Well, I don't know what happened to Harry Cochrane, Scott, because I was at the Celtic game where Hearts won 4-0 that day. Harry Cochrane was the best player on the pitch and far better than Scott Brown in the middle of the park that day, and he scored, actually. I don't know what happened to Harry Cochrane. I don't know if... I know he had an injury. I don't know if he got over that injury, but he was loaned out to Dunfermline and he never played there much either. But it looked to me... I mean, he was only 16 that day when he played against Celtic. And he was outstanding. Laddie McDonald's, you know, a really good player. Irvine's a good player. You know, so the players are there, but there's something fundamentally wrong with Hearts at the minute. I don't know if it's like a leadership or something, but these young players are decent players. And if they're given the chance, they'll come through. And Anthony McDonald's one of them. He's got good ability.
Yeah, I've got a lot of time for a lot of the young players. I mean, one of the things I brought up in a different interview was I was brought up in a time where, and I've said this and people get fed up with me saying it, I was brought up in a time where there were good Scots. Good Scots playing in the English leagues, good Scots playing in the Scottish leagues. And that's because they got given their opportunity. They got played, basically. They got played, given the chance. And you mentioned in the 98 squad how many Scots were playing, how many Scottish internationals were playing. And that's something that we don't see these days. It's like sometimes I always feel like we're trying to buy the complete player. They're getting them on the cheap or we're getting them on the free. And I like to see people coming through the ranks and knowing what the club's about.
Yeah, I mean, a football team's all about having the right balance to it. You know, and to give young lads a chance and give them a proper chance by playing 3-4 games, you've got to have the sound and solid base in that team to let them come in and let the senior pros guide them and give them a good chance. And you're right, nowadays, everybody wants instant success. And if a player has one bad game, we want him out. You know, people, you've got to have patience with players, particularly young boys. You know, getting back to Paul Ritchie, do you know that Paul Ritchie, when Tommy McLean was the manager, Paul was taken down in the bus. They had a problem at the back in defence. And Tommy McLean picked Walter Kidd, who was a reserve team coach, in the team before Paul Ritchie that day. And that is the problem, that people are scared. Jim and I were never scared to take a chance on a young boy because we backed our judgment and we knew when that young boy went into our team, there was good enough people round about him to help him. We rarely had a young boy that failed, because we had a solid base round about him. And I think that's one of the problems. The Hearts haven't got a solid base at the moment.
Mm.
We had one, and that's why the Riches and the Johnsons and the Locks and the McLarens, they all prospered and they turned out to be good players. You must have the base there. You must have the foundation and the balance of the team right for these guys to prosper.
I totally agree. You've got to have that environment for them, haven't you? Because at the end of the day, they're learning the trade. Very, very skillful. I'll send you a clip. And I know I said it on another interview, Anthony McDonald did a 10-mile run the other day and I asked him to do keepy-uppies with a toilet roll and I had to go in my kitchen. I was terrible, Billy, absolutely terrible. This toilet roll was going everywhere. But this lad ran 10 miles and then basically did it. It wasn't even out of breath, Billy. It was sickening and did the keepy-uppies. So he's got the skill. But I totally agree with you. What he needs is and the others need nurturing. But I still sort of stand by these players who were part of the academy and then come through and they've got Hearts in their heart to give them a chance rather than have mercenaries sometimes that come in and want the wages. And sometimes when I look and I see certain players, it's difficult. It is very, very difficult to watch. In terms of the future, what are you thinking about putting you on the spot again? This high press, are you a fan?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Jim and I high press to a certain extent. You've got to be able to mix your game up. And one of the problems with a lot of managers now, they've got a certain way of playing. The football philosophy, you know, they have a high press or they play a possession type game. When you're the manager, if that isn't winning, if your ideas or your ideals aren't working and the team's getting beat, you've got to change them. I mean, when Daniel came in, it was high press. You couldn't high press with the players Hearts had. You couldn't do that. So he's replaced the captain, Christophe Berra, now, and he's left the club. Now, I don't think the team Hearts had could high press even with Christophe in it. They just didn't have the legs in certain positions to do it. Now, we did rectify that. We put one or two young boys in, you know, Laddie Moore and that. But high press is okay if you've got the players. But it's all about balance. It's all about, you know, you don't play like that every week. You might have to change it. High press against Celtic is good. High press against maybe Hamilton isn't good, you know, because they'll hit you on the break.
Yeah.
So you've got to change it. To me, football philosophies cost managers jobs. Managers have got to win. It doesn't matter how you play. you've got to win. If your way and the way you think the game should be played isn't working, change it or you'll get the sack.
Yeah, exactly. And both of you were your own men. It sounds like you said, you had your philosophy. You weren't afraid to invest in youngsters and you played out how you wanted to play.
Never.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you went 1-0 up in a game in the final and you all your tactics went out the window, you still sort of stayed with it. I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine thinking, oh, this is how we're going to do it. And then suddenly your faces, your faces must have been unbelievable. I'm going to ask you that.
As I say, every game that we played, we tried to win. And the one that we didn't try to win from the start in is our most famous victory. So it just shows you, you know, the best laid plans. But it all worked out well in the end, Scott.
Exactly. It's all about opinions, football, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Billy, you've been a star, and I've loved you coming on. Thank you so much for agreeing to coming on.
It's been a pleasure, and it's great to have talk to a good heart supporter like you. And anytime I can help you, Scott, I'm certainly here for you, and I'll do all I can to help you.
Thank you so much. And at some point, we'll have to meet up in Preston Pans.
Yeah. Well, I've not, since I married my wife and took her for Preston Pans, I haven't went back there. You know,
there's a lot like that.
Certainly, keep in touch with me, mate, and if I can help you at any time, I'm here.
You're a star. Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
And we've been the Boys in Maroon podcast. Look us up on theboysinmaroon.com. We're also on Spotify and we're also on iTunes. You look after yourself. Thank you so much, Billy.